Welcome back to TechNet Radio. We're here for part 7 of our Building a Private Cloud with System Center 2012 SP1. And in today's episode, Keith Mayer and Young Cho show us how to create and delegate private clouds in Virtual Machine Manager. Tune in for another demo-heavy session and see how you can create private clouds and assign host groups, logical networks, storage, and load balancers, as well as how to then create user roles, profiles, and resources. Keith, the mic is yours.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio. We're in episode 7 here on our Building a Private Cloud series. And today we're going to take the fabric, the foundation that we've made part of our private cloud, and we're going to actually start creating private cloud resource pools and delegating access to those clouds on top of it. So pretty exciting day. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm an IT pro technical evangelist at Microsoft. And I have with me my good friend, Young Cho. Young, hi, how you doing?
Hi, Keith. Hello, everyone. This is Young Cho, technology evangelist at North Carolina. Hello, everyone.
North Carolina. Well, welcome again, Young. Thanks for joining us. So, Young, over our series, we have been talking about this concept of a private cloud and how it can enable us to take our infrastructure resources in our data center across compute, across storage, across networking, and collapse all of that down into a single set of tools that we can use for managing that whole environment, but then also be able to expose that infrastructure as a set of private cloud resources that can be aligned to our business requirements and respond in a more agile way to changing business needs. And through this process, over the last few episodes, we've gone through the process of deploying System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 with a focus on Virtual Machine Manager, on the VMM component. And we looked at, over the last three episodes, I think, of bringing our compute fabric into the VMM console, bringing our storage fabric into the VMM console, bringing our networking fabric into the VMM console. So now we are at a point where we have our entire data center infrastructure brought into one management console, able to manage all of that from one set of tooling. So gone are the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different tools that most IT pros have traditionally had to use to manage different aspects of their environment. And we're ready to start talking about planning out private cloud resource pools and delegating access to those resource pools. So a pretty exciting day. What do you think, Young?
Well, I'm ready. I'm telling you, I'm waiting for this cloud for a long time. Let's get it.
So when we talk about creating and delegating private cloud resource pools in System Center 2012 SP1 VMM, we're talking about a couple operations that we do in the VMM console using the VMs and services area of the console, that navigation workspace. So we're actually not going to be in the fabric workspace for a change. And in the VMs and services workspace of the VMM console, we have a couple options that we're going to be deep diving on during our demos today. We're first going to use the Create Cloud button to create a private cloud on top of the physical resources, the physical infrastructure that we've brought in as our private cloud foundational fabric. And through that process, we will create that private cloud, we'll assign resources to it from one or more host groups, we'll assign one or more logical networks that can be leveraged by that private cloud, along with load balancers and other more advanced networking resources. We'll also assign particular storage pools based on the classifications that we put in place in our earlier episodes when we brought storage into the VMM console. We'll also allocate out particular library shares so that if we have different private clouds for different business units, different application needs or whatnot, we can point them to different collections of compute resources, different collections of storage and networking resources, and different collections of library resources based on the underlying requirements of those applications, those business units, those various subgroups within our IT department. And for all of those resources, we can also set capacity limits on our private cloud. So even if we have 100 terabytes of disk space and gobs of memory and 60 to 100 cores of CPU processing power in our compute hosts, when we create our private clouds, we can obscure that down to a smaller amount of resources that we want to make available for those particular application needs. Now, once we've created our private cloud, then we're going to turn our attention to assigning access to that private cloud. Because as IT pros on the infrastructure side, you know, a lot of times those requests come in from business unit IT leads, from development team leads, or from application owners like the Exchange admin in my department or the SharePoint admin in my department or maybe one of the SQL Server DBAs. So by creating this private cloud, we can delegate those application owners to have the ability to provision their own workload resources. So instead of bothering us as the infrastructure guys, we can show them how to go out and provision their own resources within the constraints that we define. So when we assign their access to the cloud, we can give them a level of access. We can specifically tell who from our Active Directory domain has that level of access. We can scope it down to a particular private cloud and set additional quotas to restrict how much resource they can individually access out of that private cloud. We can also specify which virtualized VM networks they can leverage for spinning up new VMs. And which resources. So instead of spinning up any workload, we can actually lock them down just to particular VM templates or service templates or application profiles that we've defined so that we have control not only around how much resource they consume out of the private cloud, but specifically the configuration of what's running within that private cloud environment. And we can also be very selective on the particular actions that they can perform so that we can allow them to, for instance, deploy a new workload from a template, but perhaps not be able to snapshot it or take up additional space within our private cloud infrastructure, not be able to perhaps grow the amount of CPU resources they have. But at the same time, maybe we still want them to be able to also remote control into that VM. Maybe we want them to be able to do their own restarts of that VM, for instance. So we have very granular controls over exactly which actions these application owners can have over the private cloud as we delegate it out. Well, Young, what do you think? Does this sound pretty useful based on your experience and background in the IT pro arena?
I think this is just something that after we talk so much about the fabric, we finally reached to a point that we are actually going to start getting some sort of like making some objects that we can actually touch and feel. If I may give you an analogy, it's like previously we talked about building a house and then we're building the foundation, we set up the frame, we put all the wires in. Now we are at the point to decide it, you know, is this going to be a 20 office building, or this is going to be three-story, five-story. How are we going to basically lay out all these rooms, right? And where are we going to put the facility? And we're sort of like at that level. So this is kind of nice because this could give us kind of getting better feeling in terms of what it's going to look like at the end product, as opposed to we talk a lot about the foundation behind the scene. Now we actually gradually move above the abstract fabric layer, so we can actually see what it's going to look like.
That's right. We can think of this as really building out our resource architecture on top of that foundation. And as part of doing that, determining how large each room is, how many windows, VMs in this case, it can run, it can have inside each room, and how many people can enter and exit that room, for instance, by defining our private cloud resources. No, definitely.
Right. Yeah, when you talk about the resource control, that would be like the file code. Like this room can only have this many people. I mean, all this sort of like the related to the really administration type of thing, we also need to consider. So in our cloud building, that will be like your rules, right? Who's going to use it? How are you going to let them use it? And how do you set up security, the roles, the access control, all that now come into the considerations.
No, definitely. Well, what do you think, Young? Is it time to jump over into our demo environment and start showing and stop talking?
I can't wait.
Okay, great. Well, let's head over to the lab environment then. So here we are in our lab environment, and you'll notice that we're in a slightly different workspace area here. So now instead of being in the fabric workspace that we've been on for the past couple episodes as we talked about bringing in our compute and storage and network infrastructure into the VMM console, we're over on our VMs and services application workspace. So I've clicked on that, and then up top in my navigation pane, I've got clouds and VM networks and other aspects that are related to the virtual machines and application workloads that are running in my private cloud environment. So earlier in our slide, we talked about two operations, creating a private cloud and assigning access or delegating control of a private cloud. And both of those are exposed as buttons in our top ribbon bar in the VMs and services workspace. So we've got create a cloud under the create group of buttons and assign access to a cloud under the cloud group of buttons. So if we wanted to take some of the capacity that we have in our infrastructure and define a private cloud resource pool around that, we could first use our create cloud button. And so why don't we use the scenario, Young, of creating a development cloud, a cloud of resources that we're ultimately going to delegate access to our developers so that we can give them a finite amount of resources on our infrastructure and some particular VM templates that as they need new dev environments, they can spin them up themselves and spin them down themselves and not have to pester us. Does that sound like a good scenario from your standpoint, Young?
I think we're going to have a whole bunch of happy developer programs.
Well, let's hope so. So the first thing we'll need to do is we'll need to name our private cloud. So since this is going to be for developers, why don't we call this the developer sandbox for our private cloud? And that'll give them an area where they can play in their own little sandbox and develop their own code without disturbing the rest of our environment. And then we have to specify which hosts or host groups we wish to allocate resources from. Now, not to say that all of these resources would be available. We can later on, as we look down in our wizard pages, we can set capacity limits, but we need to be able to determine across which groups of hosts within our infrastructure are we going to be pulling compute resources from. So we could say all hosts or a particular group of hosts. I'm going to use all hosts, click the next button, and then out of all of those host resource groups, it's going to ask us to select the logical networks that we previously defined in our earlier episodes for connecting this private cloud to. So I'm going to select one of my logical networks. And if I had more advanced networking components like load balancers or virtual IP templates for my load balancers, I could select those as well as resources for my private cloud. But because this is intended to be an isolated development sandbox, I'm going to make it pretty simple and just select the normal logical network resources instead. Now, for my logical networks, as VMs are connected and put on VM networks, we can specify which port classifications. We looked at these port classifications back in our earlier episode when we were setting up logical switches within our network fabric. So we could say for development VMs, well, maybe we want to be able to classify certain developer ports for certain VM workloads as low bandwidth and medium bandwidth, and we're going to reserve the high bandwidth needs for our production cloud instead. So this just gives us the ability to tag which types of network ports are going to be available on the switches, the logical switches within this private cloud. So we'll go ahead and select next. I also have the ability to select particular storage classifications. So back in our storage episode, when we were configuring our storage fabric, we walked through the steps of creating a couple classifications of our storage, a silver classification for storage that was more capacity focused and didn't have high performance throughput, and then a gold tier of storage or classification of storage for our high throughput, high performance storage that we wanted to reserve for our production applications. Well, since this is a development cloud and we need lots of disk space, but it doesn't necessarily have to be ultra high performant disk space for our developers, we'll go ahead and select silver. We'll associate this cloud with the silver storage classification. I'll go ahead and click next. Now we can also specify which library servers and shares we wish to make available to this cloud. So if we had multiple library servers, we talked about that when we were deploying Virtual Machine Manager, the ability to set up multiple library servers and associate them with different locations and groups of hosts. We can select all the library servers that we wish to use for supplying templates and application profiles and scripts and ISO images and whatnot to this private cloud. So I'm going to select my one library share. And then finally, after we're done selecting all the raw resource collections, well, now we can define the capacity ceiling for this cloud. So although we've got lots of CPUs and memory and storage available throughout all of the various physical resources we've selected for this cloud, we can select to, instead of providing the maximum amount of those resources for our cloud, we can specify specific assigned capacity. So even though we have many different CPUs, we can uncheck the use maximum checkbox and limit our developers maybe to a maximum of just six virtual CPUs. And they can perhaps determine how many of those virtual CPUs would be allocated across their various VMs. In addition, instead of the maximum amount of memory that's available on our infrastructure, maybe we'll restrict them to a lower amount, maybe 32 gig of memory. And instead of 2.5 terabytes of storage, I know how much developers like disk space, so we're going to narrow them down to just 250 gig of storage instead. So you can see we've got some ability on a virtual CPU, memory, storage, virtual machine level to be able to specifically allocate capacity ceilings that this cloud can't grow above. And then as we monitor the resources in this cloud, if we find that there's a legitimate need for more capacity, we can later come back in and adjust this capacity upwards, assuming we have physical capacity available in our infrastructure still. So it allows us to elastically be able to expand and contract the capacity of each private cloud we're defining in accordance with the business needs of each business unit, of each team within our IT department, of each application owner. So I'm going to go ahead and click Next, and we have finally the ability to select one or more virtual machine capability profiles for this cloud. So early on in our series, we talked about the ability of System Center 2012 SP1 Virtual Machine Manager to be able to leverage your existing hypervisor platforms, regardless if they're Hyper-V, if they're Citrix Zen Server, or if they're VMware ESX. So if we had different hypervisors across our host group, we could select all of the profiles for supporting all of those various hypervisors. In fact, if we had multiple profiles selected, we could even go so far as to build out application service templates that run a certain tier of a particular application on one hypervisor and another tier on another, if we had sound business reasons for doing so. So I'm going to go ahead and select just Hyper-V as my virtual machine capability profile, because that's all I have in the host group that I've selected for this private cloud at the moment, and then click Next. So now we've got our summary for all of the settings that we're going to associate with our developer sandbox private cloud. And if we wanted to see how to create similar private clouds to this, you'll notice that there's a View Script button up in the upper right-hand corner of our dialog box. If we click on View Script, what will happen is VMM will show us all of the PowerShell code that it's running behind the scenes when we click the Finish button to build out this private cloud. So this is really nice because you may, in production environments, have the need to create many different private clouds, many different resource pools for your different business units, application groupings, application owners or developer teams. And so this allows you to automate that process for being able to provision new private clouds, to grow private clouds and whatnot by giving you a sound example for as a starting point of the PowerShell script involved that VMM itself is going to use. I'm just going to close that script window, click the Finish button, and it'll start going through the process of provisioning our new private cloud. And once that's provisioned, it's going to show up under my Clouds area, if I go ahead and expand that out, as a new private cloud. Well, Young, what do you think? Was that process pretty straightforward? Any additional thoughts on creating the private cloud?
Yeah, I think one thing that IT professionals need to understand is, at this time, we are really building a container. So it is important when you talk about cloud, when you are discussing cloud computing with your customer, you need to kind of qualify, okay, I'm talking about cloud. What I mean is, in System Center Virtual Machine Manager, the admin console, I'm creating a container. At the same time, in different contexts, you may be talking about cloud as an application. So that's first thing we need to recognize that. Second thing is these containers, we can think about back to our building analogy. This can be like a blueprint for each floor, if you will. So different floor, we have individual blueprint to lay it out. And specifically, if I know that this floor is going to be for this particular company, and let's say they need, I'm just making this up, let's say they need 300 network ports. This is where we're defining that. Although I have laid out the network cable already, but this particular floor, using this container, I can kind of restrict or do a resource management, if you will, kind of put the constraint there. So every time we come into the floor, it will be under this set of conditions. So this is kind of, again, we are trying to identify the patterns. We try to set a blueprint. And so when we need to make change, we come back and change the blueprint. And, the results were produced accordingly. So that's kind of where we are. And so as we're building up these blueprints, and later we can actually substantiate instance within this individual container, and that's where they will inherit all these settings.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we've walked through the steps of building out that private cloud blueprint, that resource pool. And if, as you mentioned, Young, if we ever find that we need to expand or contract the capacity or add in additional infrastructure resources, we can very easily go back into the properties of our cloud that we've defined and be able to change any of those settings that we initially configured when we were setting up our private cloud. So it gives us, to your point, a very flexible blueprint for being able to map our infrastructure resources to the changing application requirements that may exist throughout our organization. So we've got our private cloud defined. The next step is to allow those developers to have access to their developer sandbox for spinning up their own environment so they can do it themselves without having to pester us back in the data center to set up yet another VM, another set of developer environments for them. So in order to do that, we would select our developer sandbox, and then up on the button bar, we can click on the Assign Cloud button. Assign Cloud is used to delegate access to one or more private clouds. When we click Assign Cloud initially, it'll ask us to select a user role to which the cloud will be assigned. Now, we don't have any user roles defined yet. This is the first cloud that we've set up that we're delegating access to. But the idea here is that once we define a set of users that has access to a particular cloud, that becomes a reusable user role. So that if we need to give that same set of users a similar level of access to other private cloud resource pools, we don't have to set them up over and over and over again. Now, in our case, we're going to create a new user role and assign it to the cloud we've selected. But once we've created that user role, that becomes a reusable user role for assigning permissions, delegating access to other cloud resources as well. So I'll go ahead and click my OK button. And it'll ask me to give my new user role a name. So we'll say that this is our developers user role. And I'll click the next button. And now it'll ask us to select a profile for this user role. The profile determines the number of actions that will be available for members of this user role. And it could be anything from a Fabric administrator that has full access to the managing the infrastructure, the VM templates, the libraries and updates and all of the clouds and whatnot, to a read-only administrator who has access only to be able to read and review all aspects of your Fabric and private cloud environment. So read-only administrator might be like a help desk person that needs to see status information across the board but not be able to change anything, whereas a Fabric administrator is sort of one of your junior network admins in the data center that's helping you to administer and make changes to the Fabric that's supporting your private cloud. Now, in SP1 of System Center 2012 Virtual Machine Manager, we also have the concept of a tenant administrator. The concept here is that we can give a particular user role administrative rights to just their private cloud so that they can then manage who else has access to just their private cloud. So in some cases, if we had a very complex development department, for instance, where we had one or two people that were the development managers, maybe we give them tenant administrator roles for their user role, and then have all of the other developers be assigned by them as application administrators or self-service users that can only provision new VMs on top of that private cloud. So application administrators are our last choice, and that's basically someone that's normally involved in creating, deploying, and managing just virtual machines or application workloads on top of a private cloud. And that might be a user profile that's relevant for the individual developers within our development department. So we've got, based on the profile we select, we have a lot of control over what level of access and what scope of access we're providing users that are assigned this role. In our case, we're going to use the self-service user choice to give a couple of our developers the ability to provision their own virtual machines directly on the developer sandbox. But as we talk through each of the other profiles, you can see that based on our needs, we have flexibility for selecting one of the other user profile roles as well. Young, from your standpoint, is there any particular user profiles that you use more than others when you're setting up your private cloud?
Well, in fact, this is a very important screen here, that when you see these profiles, there's really some specific target scenario that it's intended for. For instance, the tenant administrator, the tenant will see the fabric. When I say you will see the fabric, that means you will see the network configuration, you will see the host, you know, where's your Hyper-V host, you will see the storage device. And that means you get to access the infrastructure layer, as opposed to if you're a self-service user, you don't see the fabric. So what you care is what's above the abstraction. So that's kind of an important, you know, distinction right here. And also, the user role is really a policy. You can think of that way, which means if you being assigned with this role, that policy will follow you whenever you get authenticated. That policy become effective. So it's a very effective tools, if you will, for you to be able to manage the delegated authority, who can do what. And also at this time, we are still talking more about from the service provider's view, if you will. Even we'll define this role that for a particular user, that user probably turn around facing the real end user is still at the kind of service provider role. So all these are really intended for those people who maintain in some shape or fashion of the private cloud, if you will.
Yep, no, definitely. Well, let's go ahead in our scenario and select application administrator, self-service user. I'm going to go ahead and click the next button. And on my members page of my Create User Role Wizard, I'm going to click the add button and add in a couple of my developer users. I'll just go ahead and select them out of Active Directory that I wish to give the ability to provision new workloads on top of the developer sandbox private cloud. So I'll select Next, and now from a scoping standpoint, I can specify which private clouds the users that are members of this role will have access to. Well, in this case, we want to give them access just to my developer sandbox private cloud. I'll click Next, and you'll see that within the developer sandbox, I have the ability now to take the original capacity limits that were on that private cloud and further refine them so that anyone that's a member of this role, as a role level, all combined members can use up a particular assigned quota that I specify that could be lower than the capacity limit on my private cloud. And I can even go down to the individual member level to say that individual members, so in my case, we have two users that are members of this role right now, developer one and developer two. Well, we could say that developer one or two individually can each use only three virtual CPUs. but a total of up to 6 across all users that are combined into this user role. So we have a lot of flexibility to be able to vary those private cloud capacity limits further by restricting them at a role or an individual member level. I'm going to go ahead and click Next here. And now it'll ask me which VM networks. So these would be the client networks, the client VM networks that we talked about back in our Networking Fabric episode, that we wish this user role to be able to place new VMs on top of this private cloud. So I'll select one of my VM networks that was previously set up. And under resources on the next page, I can even restrict them down to only being able to provision new virtual machines from certain templates, from certain VM templates, from certain service templates, from certain application or hardware or OS profiles as well, so that I have the ability to specify exactly which templates, which resources are allowed. And then when I click Next, I have a list of permitted actions for the user role. So for the self-service user, I can allow them to deploy new virtual machines, but I can specify that they can only deploy them from the template resources that I've assigned them on the previous page that we were just looking at. And in addition to deploying those new VMs from a template, perhaps I also want them to be able to establish a remote connection, so they can establish a remote desktop session with their virtual machines. And perhaps I want them to be able to shut down, start, stop their virtual machines as well, maybe pause and resume and go do a save state. But that's the level that I want. I don't want them to be able to accidentally remove or delete their virtual machines after they're provisioned. I perhaps don't want them to be able to do checkpoints or snapshots that can take up a bit more space on my backend infrastructure. And I'm just going to limit them to these particular actions. So you can see, even for the profile that I've selected for this user role, I can further segment that down into more granular responsibilities by selecting just the actions that I wish those users that are assigned to this role to be able to perform. Well, I'll go ahead and click Next. And finally, if I had any run as accounts that were set up, so run as accounts are basically accounts that I can define as a Fabric administrator in VMM that have pre-built credentials, usernames and passwords that I can allow other users to be able to leverage for doing things like installing applications in their VMs and whatnot without having to expose the specific usernames and passwords. So if they perhaps needed to have administrative access to a library in order to be able to manage templates or whatnot, I could give them library admin access. Or if I had a domain user account that normally had local administrative access to VMs, I could give them that run as account. In my case, my developer don't need any additional specialized administrative rights for the VMs they're deploying, so I'm going to leave the run as accounts list blank. I'll click Next. I'll review my summary information, go ahead and click Finish, and it'll go through the process now of setting up that user role. Now you'll see that user role actually appears in my VMs and services application workspace underneath the tenants folder. So here's my new user role, and when I right-click and go into properties, I'll be able to specify and change any of those settings. So again, down the road, if I find that I need to raise the quota that I've assigned as a member level quota for this user role, I can do that very easily, having a lot of elasticity as to how resources are managed up to the limits that I've specified. Well, Young, from your standpoint, that walkthrough on creating a user role, does that make sense, look easy from your standpoint?
Yes, and in fact, I'm glad you pointed out that VM template, because if you imagine that you are running a developer shop and you're in a multi-releases, right? So you can have a pretty complex and convoluted environment that you need to maintain. You have this release going in with this specification, this set of specification, that release going in with a different set of specification. And if you want to put them all in the same environment, which is what we have on the same fabric, with this methodology, you can really manage in a very consistent and in predictable manner. You can have different release with the different user group role, and in such case, they will associate with a specific VM template, which guarantee when they deploy virtual machine, when they do development, their operating or runtime environment will be a specific set of specification that we define. So this really kind of link everything together for you. And by using this user role, it really gives you the advantage to set the policy to have some predictability in a very complex environment where everything happening in the same basic infrastructure, the same fabric, right? So I think it's a very compelling story here.
Well, so Young, we've gone through the process of creating our private cloud, our developer sandbox, and assigning or delegating a certain level of self-service access to our developers for that developer sandbox and the resources that are associated there. So the next logical step is, great, well, what do my developers do? How can they actually log in and create resources that they need? Well, in order to do that, they have a couple choices. They can use the Virtual Machine Manager console and log in under their own account. It'd be the same console that we see here as administrator, but it would have a subset of the capabilities in VMM based on the actions and the profile associated with their user role. Or the other alternative is from an entirely web-based user interface, they could use the System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 App Controller UI. App Controller is our self-service web UI that allows application owners that are assigned a particular role to be able to manage their private clouds that they're assigned to and be able to deploy, provision, and manage application workloads. We'll actually be talking about App Controller in a later episode when we go through the process of looking at managing not just private cloud, but also hybrid cloud resources, leveraging our Windows Azure public cloud platform. So for now, let's look at how a developer might access this private cloud that they've been assigned to from within the Virtual Machine Manager console. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go up to my action bar in my Virtual Machine Manager console, and I'll open up a new connection to Virtual Machine Manager. And when I open that connection up, I'm going to specify that I want to authenticate as that new developer's user role that we had assigned to our Developer 1 and Developer 2 user accounts. So I'll go ahead and click OK. It'll relaunch a fresh copy of the Virtual Machine Manager console. And you'll see that because I'm now logged in as a developer user role and not as a full fabric administrator, you'll see that my console looks just a little bit different. For instance, down on my application workspace selections, I don't have fabric listed anymore because as a self-service user, my view into the private cloud is through the private clouds that I'm assigned to. I also only see the particular private cloud that I was assigned to, so I don't see any additional private clouds beyond what I'm specifically assigned, and my ribbon bar has been updated so that the only actions I have are for creating virtual machines from the template that I selected when the user role was set up on my private cloud, or for managing those virtual machines. So by taking this approach, I can still use the same VMM console that my full administrator uses, but as a developer, I'm limited in scope based on the user role to which I'm assigned, so that I can very easily log in, spin up new application workloads for, in this case, developing new applications, manage those VMs, and do whatever level of access the full fabric administrator has delegated to me. Well, Young, from your standpoint, what do you see out in the field? Do users use VMM console? Do they use App Controller? Do they use something else as their tool for delegated private cloud administrators?
I see both, but you know, I see more and more people will tend to move to the web interface, simply
sure.
Just much more convenient. Yes, I think that's where we're going. But this is amazing. I think this is I like it. It's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And we will be looking at App Controller in a later episode as well, so you'll get a chance to see both the full console view that we get with VMM as a delegated private cloud administrator or self-service user, as well as the web-based UI that App Controller presents. So, Young, we just stepped through the process together of being able to create a new private cloud and assign or delegate access to administrators or developers or application owners for the specific capacity limits and actions that we permitted them to use within the private cloud that we set up. So some pretty impressive capabilities that we can very quickly put in place once we have our entire fabric being represented in Virtual Machine Manager. Well, if you'd like to learn a little bit more and practice some of the tools and features that we've talked about, we certainly have a set of additional lab resources that are free for the asking, free for you to test out and evaluate. And so what we have is a set of cloud labs that you can actually spin up on your own and walk through the process of building out much of what you've seen here over the last few episodes around Windows Server 2012, System Center 2012. We even have private cloud labs around SharePoint and SQL, Windows 8, even Linux, so that you can take advantage of this as a free resource to gain more hands-on experience with what we've been going through over the last several episodes. In order to take advantage of our private cloud labs, at any point in time, you can just browse out to aka.ms/cloud-lab, be able to pick from any of the labs that interest you most. You'll be stepping through the process of building them out on top of our Windows Azure cloud platform, where we can run virtual machines and virtual networks up on the public Windows Azure cloud platform as well. As you go through those labs, if you need additional assistance or if you have questions that arise on any of the labs, you may be interested in our Early Experts Virtual Study Hall. Every week on Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Young, myself, and our other technical evangelists join together on a virtual study hall where you can join, you can connect virtually through live meeting, grab your lunch, participate in the labs that you're most interested in, and as you step through those labs, if you have questions, there's live experts available to help you out with your questions and keep you productive on that path of going through each of the labs that matter most to you. So you can feel free to join us weekly at aka.ms/virtual study hall. Check us out, and we look forward to seeing you at an upcoming virtual study hall session as well. Well, Young, thanks so much for joining us again today to talk about creating and delegating our private clouds.
Well, thank you, and I am going out tonight to get a tattoo of Private Cloud on my right arm.
Great. That's awesome. Well, and thank you, everybody, as well, for joining us for another episode of TechNet Radio. Feel free to join us again in our future episodes, where we'll continue down the path of building out our private cloud infrastructure and managing it with the full suite of components available in System Center 2012 Service Pack 1. Thanks very much, everybody. Look forward to catching you at our next episode of Building Your Private Cloud on TechNet Radio.